And a one, and a two. Welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 38, DC New 52 Analysis. I am Chris Mosby.
I'm Caleb Gerard.
I'm Murray Fox.
And joining us this morning is John Wilson. I don't know. I'll let him fill in his bona fides on this because he has quite a few, but given recent postings on Facebook and our perchance for focusing on the 52, sorry anyone who was hoping for some Marvel talk this week, but we're gonna let the
next week,
maybe,
yeah,
or the week after, maybe the week after, who knows? But John put a really interesting post on there, which really caught my attention. John broke down the 52 titles and how they relate to the pre-Flashpoint DC universe. But I'll go ahead and let John introduce yourself, give us some background on you, and then we'll dive into the shallow end here.
Hello, everybody. My name is John Wilson, and I'm a comicaholic.
Hello, John.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me on here. Yeah, I've been reading the New 52 books since they started up. I've been reading every title. And, you know, we hear a lot of talk online and stuff about, you know, I wish they'd fix the old continuity, or, you know, I'm tired of them not rebooting the whole universe. And so I just really sat down. I was like, okay, well, how much of these titles really depend on the old continuity? And so I just sort of, like, thought about it for a while, and I shared my thoughts with Facebook, and Facebook listened.
Are you still reading all of them?
I am still reading all of them. Now, I am a little bit behind. I'm still –
wow.
This is April 29th as we're recording, and I'm still on the April 18th books.
Oh, so I'm
wow.
Jeez.
I'm in the middle of the last issue of Batman Odyssey Volume 2.
You actually read that?
I didn't read the
I love Batman, and when that started, you know, they had to break it up in Volume 2 because there's some kind of delay, but holy crap, that was bad.
It's really strange. My guess is that Neil Adams just thought, you know what? I just want to go back to my Bronze Age style of stories, the really wacky Batman, and just put it in some modern, decompressed storytelling, sentimentality. I don't know. It's really, really odd. I'm not going to say it's bad, but on a 5-star scale, I'd probably give it a 2 stars.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Yeah. I mean, I've always loved his art, and that's why I got it mainly. And then I just could not read it.
And the art's not really all that up to snuff compared to what he's known for either.
Yeah.
But anyways.
I in my mind, I confused this with that Kevin Smith thing that was out, but they're clearly not the same thing. Sorry.
No. That was bad in a whole nother way.
Oh, see, I like that one. But anyway.
Well, I mean, depending on which one you – I read the first one he did, but not. I didn't even touch the second one because I hated the first one so much.
The one with Silver St. Cloud. Sorry.
I think that was
– That's not Kevin Smith. That was not Kevin Smith.
Okay.
Danny O'Neill and didn't Marshall Rogers – didn't they come back to do like an arc a couple years ago? That would have been good.
One of those not Kevin Smith guys.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm thinking of the Kevin Smith one where he kept going off to an island every issue to bop with Silver St. Cloud and
sort of. Oh, that was that widening gear or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't read that one because the one he did before that, that's the one I didn't like.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that was.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, John. I
No, I am.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I guess I should just say a little bit about who I am in the realms of podcasting. It's when the New 52 started up, I started blogging about it and decided I wanted to talk about it. So I started up a podcast called The New 52 Adventures of Superman over at new52superman.libsyn.com. And before that, I was doing a solo show, which I'm still doing, called Golden Age Superman, where I look at all the old Action Comics issues from the 1930s and 40s. We're about 2.5 years into Superman's run at this point. I say we, the royal we, because it's just me on there. I've had a couple other shows that I've done in the past. They're on hiatus, but one that Spider-Man fans might want to check out is Amazing Spider-Man Classics at AmazingSpiderman.libsyn.com. That's a highly comedic look at the old 60s books with Stan Lee and Steve Ditko and John Romita. And I had a really had a blast doing that show, and we just had to bring it to an end at one point. But yeah, that's who I am. That's what I do, and I'm here now to talk to you.
John, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Sure. Do you actually have like more than 24 hours in your day, apparently?
Actually, I sacrifice a goat on a weekly basis to get an extra 2 hours every day.
That's funny. Oh, yeah, here you go.
Jesus, all 52 books plus all the extra trades that you're clearly reading, and a couple podcasts and kids. And I guess a job. I'm
a student, but I'll tell you that's the part that kind of suffers. I don't always get my homework done.
Oh, wow.
Your dissertation will be on the restructuring of DC Comics in the year 2011. Okay.
I wish. I have to write a paper on Don Quixote later today, so that's going to be for my Spanish class.
Fun. Fun.
Yeah.
At least you have your priorities straight.
I know, right?
Comics first. That's right.
How does Don Quixote relate to Oliver Queen? Discuss.
Hey, that's not a bad one.
I might have to think about that one.
You could totally pull that in. There you go. There's your paper.
Okay, thank you. And
thanks, Caleb.
Topic provided by. So anyhow, and we can refer back to it on the Facebook page. We can repost it. But John, you had posted again, like I said earlier, this breakdown of the 52 titles. You had four categories. You had that how they related to the pre Flashpoint. You had direct continuation. Second one was Hero Unchanged, Continuity Unimportant. That's the one that actually caught my attention, most of them. Hero has a new unknown history, and finally, Hero treated as completely new. So,
I remember when you posted that, I didn't get a chance to comment on it because I have a few of those that I would. Yeah.
And there are definitely some gray, some overlaps, and some titles that could probably be put in the two places. But yeah, what I was thinking was, okay, so Batman and Green Lantern, their overall meta plots haven't really been changed. There might be some, you know, older history of theirs that's been rewritten, but as far as the story that was being done by the Batman writers and by Geoff Johns, that's continuing apace. Yeah. We even have Batman Incorporated coming out next month where he's going to just pick up right where he left off. The universe has shifted around him like yesterday's Enterprise, but the story is still going, you know?
Yeah. Very, very good analogy.
Whoa, pulling out the Star Trek. Okay.
Oh, yeah. So there are some series like that where if you haven't been reading the books, you might actually be at a disadvantage with the current books. Mm-hmm. Then I thought about there are some characters like Swamp Thing where he's trying to acknowledge and incorporate everything that's gone on before, but he's also not referencing it. He's trying to write a story that, Alan Moore fans will be able to, you know, to move over to, but not referencing the Alan Moore stuff. So those are the ones I called, you know, their continuity is there, but it doesn't really matter. We have heroes like Flash and Wonder Woman who they're 5 years into their run, but we don't really know how their history has been changed. Mm-hmm. Some of them were finding that out as we go. Like Barry Allen never had Wally, never had Kid Flash as a sidekick. He's not dating Iris. The Wonder Woman, her origin's been shifted. We have no idea what all's been going on. All the gods are different. So imagining War of the Gods in this kind of universe doesn't really fit. Her history is different, but she's well on her way.
It's okay. War of the Gods didn't fit before either, so it's okay.
Yeah,
that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Close to half the titles, you really do get a, this is where we're starting, this is number one, come join the party, we're starting from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And whether that is an origin story, or it's a little bit after their origin, but it's still early in their career, or something like that, you know, like any novelist who's going to start a story, they're going to start where they start and give you every single tidbit you need to know about the character on the way. And I feel like that's close to half the titles, in my opinion, fit into that category.
You did leave one title off, just FYI.
I did.
Animal Man.
I did. In my list, I left Animal Man off. And he's one I kind of think of with Swamp Thing, because they had that little page in the first issue where it sort of talked about his lackluster hero's career. and they have his daughter, and, you know, he's bringing in stuff from previous runs, calling her Little Wing and stuff. But it's, at the same time, nothing that he's done before is really that important to the story.
Now, do you think on the direct continuation titles, which include Batman, Robin, Batman, Batwoman, Green Lantern, Red Lanterns, Batman, and Legion of Superheroes, do you think that it was just easier for them to... They had stories in the pipe. I mean, Batwoman's probably... that's a given that they already had those written and created before this New 52 came along. Do you think that with those other five titles, that's probably the same as well?
I think it's more of... Personally, that those titles were working already, with the exception of Red Lantern. They did that as a continuation of storylines from Green Lantern, but you know, it was the Red Lantern stuff was so popular they wanted to have a title of it. But that's my view of it anyway.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And I think they even said that to some extent, that you know, we get to, you know, leave stuff literally untouched because of, you know, it was selling before. So
I remember a lot of buzz when Rage of the Red Lanterns came out. I wasn't reading the Green Lantern books at the time, but I do remember a lot of excitement about that title. And I think that the attraction of doing an ongoing with the Red Lanterns was there, and it might have happened anyway if they hadn't rebooted.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. There was a lot of
Batwoman's the only one that we really can't fault, because he's done almost a year of those titles, or you know, 6 months of those titles before the relaunch ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
He was already, you know, DC editorial had kept pushing him back for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
That was Tomasi, right? I think is it Peter Tomasi who was writing that?
What?
Red Lanterns.
Red Lanterns? No, Milligan is. Peter Milligan.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No, he's writing Green Lantern Corps.
Oh, okay. I knew it was one of the books I'm not reading.
Yeah. So. That one, I think that's on the fence. It's unchanged, but the continuity is unimportant. I'd have to disagree with that a little bit because of the there was things brought in from Blackest Night and what they did with Ganthet, and they changed who was in the book some. But I think the theme has been – it's just a little change, but the characters haven't been changed that much.
Yeah, I was thinking of John and Guy when I put that there, because you learn everything you need to know about John and Guy in that first issue. We know nothing about what their lives were before that first issue. But you're right, with because they're doing this meta plot with all the Green Lantern titles that is kind of on the slow burn right now with the Guardians and the Third Army and everything that's coming out.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's definitely picking up from previous stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've mentioned that on the podcast before. And I think I even got one of you, Caleb or Murray, interested in the Green Lantern Corps again by talking about it.
I really dig the title.
Mm-hmm. I picked up the latest. I'm not certain whether I'm going to continue, just because I'm one of those people who I think they abuse John Stewart way too much.
Yeah, I have to agree. He had to make some tough choices in earlier issues of the series, and he's up for some more here coming up.
People bitch about the girlfriend in the fridge thing going on. This is definitely this almost falls into its own category that John Stewart put upon issues.
Yeah, he does get his more than his fair share of bad luck, that is for sure.
Going all the way back to Cosmic Odyssey, he's been the whipping boy.
No, that's true. Yeah.
They kind of pick like a characteristic for the character, and for John it's been whipping boy. He's and they've kind of stuck to it for years and years and haven't let him move out of that, which is funny because you think like the JL cartoon and stuff, he's super popular and he hasn't been, from what I remember, destroying many worlds on the cartoon. Like he was allowed allowed to become a different character, but DCU, he's pretty much shackled to that. Yeah, I accidentally blew up a planet once.
Yeah, well, and you know, he's kind of gotten over that. The thing recently, you know, spoilers, everyone, I'll give him a pause so they can turn the thing off. But, and this is several issues ago, that he got captured with a couple other lanterns, and they were being tortured to give away secrets. And one of the lanterns that was there with him broke, and he was about to give the secrets away that would have led these super horrible bad guys, you know, right down on Oa, and he snapped his neck. Jeez. Killed him. And that's what's brought up all the messiness coming up.
Dwayne McDuffie tried to pull him out of it when he was doing Justice League.
Yeah.
When he had the all-black Justice League going on, but it didn't... it was. I mean, that's not a dig, and it's not a racial comic, just to put all the characters were black in there for a few issues. But that's like one of the few times I remember him being more like the cartoon version.
I agree. Which I think, didn't Dwayne work a lot on that cartoon anyway?
Yeah. That was one of he was the producer or story driver or whatever, something
like
that.
I loved that cartoon. That was awesome.
Yeah. So what is the main distinction then, John, in your list here between direct continuation and unchanged, with continuity being unimportant?
That's a good point.
In my brain, and this is all – a lot of this is subjective, of course. But in my brain, it was how much coming into this title I felt like I was coming into the beginning of a story or coming into the next chapter of a story.
That makes sense.
And because by beginning of the story, I don't mean origin. I mean, you know, Animal Man – Swamp Thing, you pick those up, you don't really need to know what's been going on. But like I said, with Green Lantern Corps, that was my thought with Hal and with John Stewart.
Yeah.
But the thing that I really thought about Batman is that his story, you know, Batman Incorporated is so much a part of that narrative now that they don't even use the words Batman Incorporated for 2 or 3 months, and then it's in a back corner of a Batwoman issue. They reference it. You see the Batman of Russia. You talk about Bruce Wayne funding Batman. But these are all elements that aren't introduced as new. They are just talked about like they're already there.
Yeah.
It's like an Easter egg in the issue. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, yeah, and in the case of Batwoman, it's still mentioning that was – post pre-launch too, so relaunch.
And in the case of Batwoman, as much as I'm enjoying that title, I still don't know who she is or why she's Batwoman.
Oh, okay. Well, then you need to pick up the run that was Greg Rucka wrote with J.H. Williams in Detective. It's called Batwoman Elegy. They got it in trade and hardcover. And
it's on my to be read list, but that just goes to goes to show that why I put that as a direct continuation.
Yeah. Well, see what the thing.
I get that. Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they don't. You're absolutely right. They don't actually have in the new 52. Why she's putting on this funky costume?
Yeah. That is a problem on their part. That was written to come out like right after that, not too long after that Detective run, and all that's established in there. So that would have fit better. But, yeah, if you read that, that's all in there. And I did note that the first hardcover / trade that they're putting out of the new Batwoman title, they're going to include that Batwoman number 0 issue that came out. And that does have some explanation in it. So
good. Something else for you to spend money on there, John.
Yeah. Because that Batwoman, they should have reprinted that Batwoman number 0 thing, which they may, now that we heard the thing that coming up in September that they're talking about putting 0 issues out, they might reprint that, so, or something new.
Well, that's an idea.
Because, I mean, that will do that.
Because if they right now Batwoman stands as the only one of the 52 titles that's getting pre-Flashpoint stuff included in her in her trade. But if they just reprint her 0 issue, that will no longer be the case. That'll be not technically new material, but, you know,
published. Yeah, I don't know if you do that or not, but since it's going to be in that hardcover.
No one will care. I'm kidding. I'm sure people will care. I'm sure all these people who spend extra money on it. Maybe they'll put it out as the free comic book day issue.
Yeah, I have some inside information about that, but we can talk about that later.
We can come back to that. So the continuity unimportant, again, not to put words in your mouth, but the way you were describing it, it sounds again like like for those of us who were reading some of these titles before, there's stuff that we can enjoy, little references, little story moments. But for those who haven't read it before, those are unimportant, and they shouldn't distract tremendously. Right.
When you put it that way, that does make more sense to me.
And like Detective Comics and Batman the Dark Knight, those are just Batman stories. Those don't really feed on the whole Batman Incorporated meta plot. Static Shock, yeah, he came here from Dakota, but who cares at the end of the day?
I wish that would have been handled better.
Yeah, yeah.
We talked
about it. Yeah, I didn't mean who cares about the book, but who cares about the book too?
Yeah. All that crap in the background is what killed that book.
So how does All-Star Western then? I mean, or is it – again, the title that I dropped a couple months ago, unfortunately, for financial reasons. But the hero is unchanged, continuity unimportant. With Arkham being such a main character in the book – couldn't that go maybe to your next category where the hero has unknown history, or is it because Jonah Hex is the main protagonist?
That's what I would think, in my opinion anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I think that Jonah Hex is one of those characters whose history is so – I don't mean discontinuous as in it jerks from one place to another, but when you start a new Jonah Hex series, I don't know that there's really a whole lot of Jonah Hex you have to know before.
Yeah.
And even whenever you read his old 70s stuff, you could just pick up an issue of All-Star Western or pick up an issue of Jonah Hex. Mm-hmm. And if you had read nothing else, you could just read that story. And when you come into this current series, there are a lot of little Easter eggs dropped that fans will like, such as Arkham's presence and stuff. But if you don't know Batman and you don't know that he's the predecessor of Arkham Asylum, it doesn't matter. There's nothing in the story that says, oh, you should know this.
Yeah.
And there's nothing about Jonah Hex's past that's brought in. They mention his origin in a couple of captions.
Yeah,
like
now,
issue 4 or 5 or something.
The only exception to that would be coming up, they're going to do a character from their previous run come in called Tallulah Black in some of the stories. So I believe that's a creation of Palmiotti and Gray, too, so.
I want to know everyone's opinion when it comes out, because I won't be reading it, but the Night of the Owls crossover. So, how they're
that's kind of like I got one of those things from the comic shop that lists all those. That particular one, if you were going to miss any of them, I would think that would be the one, because it takes place in the 1800s. It doesn't really have anything to do with the rest of them, because I was just reading on the web the other day, all those Night of the Owls event. And that's why they use the word Night of the Owls. All of those issues all take place on the same night.
It kind of reminds me of when they did the Manhunters thing many generations ago.
Yeah.
What was that? Oh, Millennium. When there was a Manhunter plugged into every title. And it's like, I'm almost expected to see a Talon pop up in Legion of Superheroes. So.
That'd be interesting. But yeah, that's the deal with it, is they're all – it's all taking place on one night, but obviously All-Star Western can't be the same, but yeah.
Maybe it can. It's time travel.
There you go.
It might have fewer connections to the other books, but it also might be a lot more awesome than some of the other books. I don't know.
Yeah. That's a good point.
The awesomeity could be there. Okay.
Well, I tell you, I'm just from the two prelude issues, Nightwing 8 and Batman 8, it's going to be cool, I think. We shall see.
Let me look at these other titles here real quickly.
Moving right along.
So Nightwing, you don't think that the continuity is important, even though the whole book seems to be about his continuity.
Now, when I first read that, I disagree with that, but I can see, because has he described why he categorized it that way? I can see where he's coming from on that, because the very first issue they say, hey, I used to be Batman, and it moves on. And everybody, I mean, you can ask anybody, like who's Robin, they'll probably say Dick Grayson before they'd say anything else. So I can kind of see that.
He's winning the poop.
A lot of it's how the story is presented, yeah. Because, yeah, he says he used to be a Batman, and that's mentioned a couple times, but it doesn't really tie into the story.
No.
The fact that he was Batman has nothing to do with his whole Haley's Circus thing. And the whole Haley's Circus thing completely disregards the fact that he's gone back to Haley's Circus several times pre-Flashpoint. It's delving into the character's history, but not from a previous comics published continuity standpoint, mm-hmm. more from a we're creating a past for the character now standpoint. Because you're right, this current story is definitely all about Dick Grayson's history,
mm-hmm.
but it's a history that they're writing right now.
Yeah, because I always remembered him being the only kid that was in the circus at the time. They never showed anybody else, and they've added all these other characters that are around his same age that are still with the circus.
And, you know, and notice that age is like 16, not like 8.
Yeah, right. And they tie that into the whole Court of the Owls angle too.
That tripped me up.
Yeah, that was a little strange, but yeah.
Because you think that, you know, he respects Haley so much, and he loves Mr. Haley, and you find out that Mr. Haley's been feeding kids to the owls for years?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They were using the circus as a training ground for the Talons. And he was supposed to be the next Talon.
Well, they needed to give, I think they'd already done this pre-Flashpoint, but they needed to give the Graysons a connection to Gotham, right?
Right, so, yeah, I think so too.
That was in that miniseries, the actually written by the same guy.
Yeah, Gates of Gotham. Both Higgins and Scott Snyder wrote that together. So they've been planning this for a while.
I wonder if this was a pre-Flashpoint storyline
that Gates of Gotham thing, and I'd heard some of them talk about some of the stuff that they had, those stories that they had were, in fact, written and approved, and they just decided to wait and use it as a launching point. That was what Snyder's story was for Batman. So yeah,
I've heard that from a few different writers that I was going to be doing this story, but now at the relaunch, I got even more freedom to do different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman's another one of those. The story we're reading right now in Wonder Woman, some form of that was going to be the next Wonder Woman story, since they had the pre-relaunch, the Flashpoint relaunch, they were able to open it up even more.
That they didn't have to wait. They could say, okay, this is the story that I've been wanting to tell. I've had to deal with all this other crap first. And okay, cool.
Yeah.
So unknown history is a hero has unknown history. You got Batgirl, Green Arrow, Hawk and Stormwatch, Deathstroke, Mr. Terrific, Catwoman, Red Hood, and the Outlaws, by the way. Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Flash, and Superman. I can't disagree with any of these except for maybe the Hawk and Dove, believe it or not. That seems
that first issue just regurgitated that, didn't it?
So,
and that was one that I honestly didn't have enough emotional investment to really care a whole lot about where I put it.
I think that's a lot of people's mentality on that.
I read all 8 issues, and I wanted to like it because, you know, I was reading comics in the early 90s, and I knew about Hawk and Dove. I've known about them since I was a kid. So I wanted to like the story. And you know, even though I know a lot of people don't really enjoy Rob Liefeld art, I kind of dig it, and it's not why I didn't like the story. The writing was often clunky, and those first stories just weren't engaging. I vaguely cared where Condor and Swan came from.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't really sure I ever found out. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't really too sad. But no, Hawk and Dove, you know, they've been around for a couple of years. We don't really know what they've been doing for a couple of years. They did sort of, Hawk rehashed his, past continuity with the other Dove in that first issue to his dad, who obviously hadn't known what happened to his other son in the last couple of years. but at the same time, we never really found out where Hawk and Dove the current ones, where they got their powers, how that all happened, or what they've been doing for the last couple of years. And so I put it there, but at the same time, it probably could have been like these are presented as, you know, mm-hmm. I don't really feel like they were presented as brand new characters either. So I don't know.
No, I think that's right. Like when you look at Dove still kind of hanging out with Deadman and stuff, that harkens back to Brightest Day, and whether Brightest Day is still mm-hmm. in continuity or not, it's a bit of a history there, which I don't know, goes to show that the characters have been around.
Right.
I think.
Yeah, not to go off on too much of a tangent, but Brightest Day definitely happens with the Swamp Thing stuff with Alec Holland. But
yeah.
Just saying.
Well, with Swamp Thing it does, but with Firestorm it clearly doesn't.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What a mess.
I mean, Brightest Day, Firestorm, and cliffhanger with Firestorm, and that's swept under the rug.
Firestorm is probably my biggest disappointment out of the whole thing, I think.
It's one of those books where I enjoy each individual issue, but then a friend of mine asked, what's been Firestorm been doing lately? And I'm like, well, there are other Firestorms who are coming after our Firestorms, and the boys don't like each other.
I glanced through number 8 on a shelf copy, because I like Ethan Van Sciver's art an awful lot, and I had no effing clue what was going on. I really didn't. I was so confused.
They've been building an entirely different Firestorm world that you kind of have to read from it issue 1 forward. It's whether you like the world or not, it's definitely a continuous story that you can't just jump in later on.
Mm-hmm.
So and now he's leaving the book. Van Sciver is.
Oh, he's leaving now?
Mm-hmm. Coming up, like he'll be writing for a couple more issues or co-writing.
Wow.
And then I can't remember where I read that, but yeah, he'll be off and it'll just be the new guy writing the book, which seems.
Well, I mean, that whole point was bringing Gail and him working on a thing together. That's what more than what the book was what they were selling.
You know what? That's true. That's really what they were selling. They were selling those two together, and
Gail bailed after how many issues?
She was on till 6, I think. But,
yeah.
But
okay.
Which is about the time I dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to save this for later, but this seems like a good point to ask this question. And I've mentioned it a few times here on the podcast and more than a few times on Facebook. But how do you feel about previously boxes, especially for a lot of these titles?
It's odd because I don't know what the expectation is for someone going into the comic book store and picking up a comic book. Whenever I started reading comics in the early 90s, it said big and bold on the cover, part 2 of 3. Mm-hmm. And so if you wanted to start reading Spider-Man, you picked up Amazing Spider-Man at issue 341. It was the first part of a powerless story. And then you go over to Spectacular Spider-Man and find out that there's like several parts of a story going on. You can just wait a couple months and come back when that story is over and get the next store issue. Mm-hmm. Things are much less discreet now than they used to be. Things kind of just flow nebulously a lot more. And maybe there's some good stuff about that, because, I mean, New Teen Titans, well, I haven't read New Teen Titans, but Byrne and Claremont's Uncanny X-Men,
yeah,
that was just open-ended storytelling. There was no thought of trade collecting. It was just open-ended storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And plots took tens of issues or more to resolve sometimes.
Right, exactly.
So I can't say that it's a bad thing in and of itself, but it's certainly much more prevalent than it used to be.
Hmm.
So back to my question, though, would you object, or do you think that even though these are all part of continuing stories, that I'm speaking as someone who's read a lot of these titles and still finds myself confused month to month, would a previously box at the beginning of each issue or somewhere in there be a bad thing?
Not be a bad thing. I mean, it would not hurt at all. Okay. Because my reading strategy is that I read last month's issue before I read this month's issue.
Oh, God.
I do a fast reread before I read the current book.
Yeah, and I have to do that on some of them.
Just to keep everything fresh in my head. And Go ahead.
I mean, there's 52 of these things, so yeah, you must. I mean, Jesus, wow.
Do you read Marvel too, though, right?
Only a couple. I'm reading the Ultimate titles because I've been an Ultimate fan since way back, and I'm reading the Ultimate titles, and I'm reading Avengers versus X-Men because I want to see what the hell that's all about.
Okay, so Unknown History. Title of these that stands out of the Unknown History titles you've listed, and I can't disagree in the least bit because it's 100%. It's Superman. It's like, oh my god, they rebooted Superman. I'm surprised that Action is not in this list as well, but I guess it kind of is in the next list.
It danced back and forth because I'm not sure exactly how much Action is going to tie into the present 5 year later continuity, mm-hmm. But yeah, Superman, he's been around for 5 years. We're getting his origin story in Action, but as far as where he is now and what he's been doing for the last 5 years, we really don't know. Mm-hmm. And we get some flashbacks in like issue 3 whenever Nicholas Scott drew all those adventures with Titano and stuff. And we get some flashbacks like that, and those are really fun for me. But as far as like, we don't know. I mean, they've been hinting that Lois knows that Clark is Superman, but we don't know how that happened or when that happened or if
really?
Clark knows that happened. Yeah.
I missed that.
It's issues 4 and 5 and 6. They'd say some things that strongly suggest that Clark's identity is known by Lois.
But he doesn't know that, though.
I don't know if he knows that. I wish I did.
Interesting. You know, I'll have to read those again because I totally missed that.
And in the Superman books, just a kind of quick sidebar question there. Is there any sort of romantic tension between Lois and Superman and Clark, like that kind of eternal triangle that...
Not so much between Superman and Lois, but definitely between Lois and him. And Clark, well, I mean.
Clark's hung up on Lois.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Okay.
Lois, we have not seen any interest from Lois for either Superman or Clark. Mm-mm. Like, there's no romance from her for them, either of them.
Huh.
At least so far that they've shown.
Right. And, yeah, now they've got a new creative team, so who knows, but... Interesting, because they got rid of the marriage to bring back the sort of...
Like, yeah, well, and, you know, Clark has got... There's a couple, more than a couple of women that seem to have a thing for Clark, and he knows it. And might even use it to his advantage, it seems like. At least that's what other people say.
Because he's damn sexy.
Yeah, but I have to say, you know... And I get the idea that maybe Caleb doesn't like what they've done, but I personally like the reboot of Superman. I think it's been needed for a while.
I haven't read it since issue 2, so...
Yeah, I'm still reading Superman. I've got number 8 here I haven't read, and Superman and Action both, and so far I'm liking it.
If you weren't digging the Perez story, just pick up issue 7 and go from there.
Yeah. Because
there's really... There's some cool catharsis at the end where they sort of make Superman and Metropolis friends again at the end of the first story. But pick up issue 7 and the whole feel of the books. Yeah. I'm still going through puberty. The whole feel of the book is different now.
Yeah, it is. It is completely different.
But it's time to change.
It happened to me yesterday.
I think that's a good thing. I think that I'm a huge advocate and of the done in one, or at least that every issue could be someone's first issue, which is so far only Didio and Giffen seem to have grasped that concept on OMAC. But given that at least they're giving a new entrance point for Superman, I mean, for goodness sake, one of the most recognized fictional characters on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them. I mean, at least they acknowledge that needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I wish, again, it comes back to my previously boxed point, but good. I may. You said number 7 is the is a good jumping on point.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Was that the Giffen issue, or is that post Giffen, or is that?
Yeah, that's the Giffen Jurgens, beginning of the Giffen Jurgens run.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Jurgens was on it. Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, yeah. And the art is so pretty.
Yeah, it is actually.
Who's doing the art?
Jurgens.
It is Jurgens. Oh, God. Okay.
You don't like Jurgens' art? I think to Kurt Swan, I've always felt like he's iconic Superman artist, in my opinion. But that's just me.
Well, yeah, Death of Superman.
But, yeah, that's why. Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm just. Okay. Well.
Well, you don't have to read it.
I know I don't have to.
I don't want, you know.
You also might think about waiting till issue. Well, I was gonna say wait till issue 9 because that's when they start telling their own stories after having finished up the Demonites thing that was already in the works. Mm-hmm. But I think that they started laying subplots already with 7 and 8 that you might just want to go ahead.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Because they bring in some characters and they've started some dynamics that aren't done.
Well, is there Steve Lombard? That's all I care about. Okay.
I read Superman so I can see Steve Lombard. I think you'd be the only person who would say that.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that from the 70s and giving him crap all the time.
I actually my Superman is the GBS Superman. So that's
Yeah, there you go. I wish I still had all those.
God, yes, I know. I wish I did too. Okay, so then Hero Treated is completely new, and as you said, this is the majority of the list. And looking through this, we got obviously Justice League, which that clearly fits.
And now that we've gotten to the present day stuff, Justice League fits even more because we know nothing about the Justice League now.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that if they're gonna cancel and create a new title, they could do a Tales of the Justice League title.
That would be interesting. Yeah.
I'd buy that.
Action Comics, that's cool. Yeah, of course. Batwing, Justice League International, Men of War, OMAC, Demon Knights, Frankenstein, Agent of Shade, Grifter, Resurrection Man, Suicide Squad, which I actually would put that up to Unknown History. That's just me. Superboy, Birds of Prey, again, I'd also put that up in Unknown History. Blue Beetle, Captain Atom, DC Universe Presents, Supergirl, Blackhawks, Fury of Firestorms, yikes, I Am Vampire, Justice League Dark, Savage Hawkman, again, I'd also put that up in Unknown History, Teen Titans, and Voodoo.
The ones that you mentioned as you might move are ones that I wasn't sure where to put.
Yeah.
Okay.
What was the first one you said? The Suicide Squad?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if this is the first Suicide Squad or not. They did say that What's Her Brains was the first person to ever go AWOL on the Suicide Squad. And so that definitely made it feel like the team hasn't been around for very long. Harley Quinn. And, right. But Harley Quinn herself has some past to her. But it's weird because all of those characters, we know so little about their histories, and yet I feel like if they wanted us to know about their histories, they would tell us. It's more important. The team is more important than any individual person.
Oh yeah, I mean, I just got the impression from the early issues that Deathshot Deadshot and Waller had a past and not.
Oh yeah,
and they might have.
Easy now, Murray.
Hopefully, he's not a Deadshot.
Oh right. He's shooting blanks.
Here we go.
So I just got the impression that they had a history, and then on Birds of Prey, there's a lot of mention of previous time with these characters together between Diana Lance and the Bat Universe, and also a lot of subtle references to stuff that happened in the Gail Simone continuity.
Are there really? Because I didn't read that series, and so Birds of Prey, the way it's being written and the way that I'm reading it, it feels like this is the first time that team's ever gotten together. And so okay. I wasn't sure if there were...
Yeah, the only thing that might suggest that isn't the case is the history between Black Canary and Batgirl. Which
yeah, they've been friends for a while. They were friends back before she lost her legs, mm-hmm. and now they're friends again, or have always been. But I don't think they've actually been on a team together before.
Yeah, that is kind of hard to tell.
Well, I guess if I was reading it, I would be more in tune with.
Yeah, that's on my bubble list right now, because Travel Foreman's coming on to do the art.
Oh, is he? Damn! See, they keep doing this to me. All right, and then Savage Hawkman. There's clearly a history there. I mean, in the first issue, even though they venomized him, he was a Hawkman before. I mean, there's a – at least I think right. there was.
my thought on that, and again, just to reiterate, this is all subjective, and this is all just me thinking out of my butt. But my thought on this stuff is
it's very scientific, man. No, we did.
I analyzed these things for days. No,
the Savage Hawkman.
His story opens up with him quitting, and then he decides not to quit, but that sort of decision is made for him. But he doesn't know anything about Thanagar. He doesn't know anything about any of the Hawkman continuity that we've had before. Mm-hmm. And so I asked myself, could Marvelous Man number one start out with Marvelous Man quitting being a superhero and then getting brought back into the game? And then we learn everything about Marvelous Man, his origin and everything, because Marvelous Man himself doesn't know it. And I was like, is that a plot structure that would work as a number one fresh out of the air?
Yeah, that's confusing, but it could.
And the answer is no, apparently, because it doesn't.
I think it could be done if it was written right. Yeah,
if it's written right, and the Savage Hawkman is not the best written book of the month.
Yeah. But soon we'll get Rob Liefeld on writing, so
yeah, and the quality will go up.
Actually,
that's sad.
He's co-writing it with. Is this not? Wait a minute, I'm confused.
I've lost track.
He's doing Deathstroke all on his own. He's co-writing Grifter with Frank Thierry.
Yeah.
And I believe he's co-writing Hawkman with somebody.
And it's like plots, I think, though.
Yeah, he's got. I may have to pick up Grifter.
Plotted by Liefeld, scripted by Liefeld and Mark Poulton.
Okay.
Don't know who that is. So, okay. But yeah,
That's a good way to bring in people new is, you know, have him. You know, up there where they can blame it on.
Liefeld, for all the bitching people do, is incredibly supportive of new talent. So
yeah, that's true.
Wow. Okay. So I actually like this last category the best because it opens up for a lot of debate. I mean, some of them there's zero debate. I mean, OMAC clearly brand spanking new. There is the reference to the Brother Eye and. And there's some history there, but
it's a similar concept, but it's being presented as a brand new story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the history really doesn't matter unless you want it to matter. I mean, the whole thing with Max Lord was just incredibly funny and incredibly cool. But, Action Comics, it purposely is brand new. I mean, there's no question about that, but then there's the question of like Resurrection Man, there is reference that he has some involvement in the DC universe prior to issue one.
I didn't know that there was a previous Resurrection Man series until like three issues into the run. I was reading it as here he is dying and keeps getting back up again, and we're just going.
So you mentioned that you started reading comics in the 90s. So you do not have a clearly you have a pre-90s knowledge now, but did you have a pre-90s knowledge when you started reading in the 90s?
Brief history of John. I was born, I grew up. Or shall I be
rocketed here from a small planet that exploded?
I had the first 20 issues of Amazing Spider-Man collected in three little pocket-sized paperbacks.
Ooh.
And I had they were published in the late 70s. I got those when I was six years old and had the chicken pox. So I read those first 20 issues of Amazing Spider-Man like 50 times when I was a kid. But I didn't actually start buying comics off the shelves until the end of 1990 when I was 11. And started reading Spider-Man, lots and lots of Marvel, was there for the beginning of 2099, all this other good stuff. And I got out right around the time that Maximum Carnage was getting underway, for those who know their Spider-Man history.
Yeah, that's a good time to get out.
And so I sort of – DC during that time I really didn't read. I knew Superman. I'd seen Batman shows. I knew the Superman movies. I didn't really read the books, so I read The Death when it came out in trade. Mm. And I thought that the Armageddon 2001 concept was way too cool to pass up. So I read the only crossover that I didn't buy was the Legion one because I couldn't find it. I didn't read that until last year. I stopped reading comics in 1993 and didn't really get back into it until the Iron Man movie. So wow. a lot of what's been going on in that interim, I have had to go back and re-educate myself on.
Wow.
You're like a Murd over on Comic Geek Speak. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. So I've been reading a whole lot of post-crisis Superman, lots of Golden Age stuff. I without trying to toot my own horn or sound arrogant, I kind of consider myself a bit of a Golden Age connoisseur. I read a lot. I have read a lot of DC and Marvel Golden Age.
Yeah.
Of course, there's probably like 50,000 people who know a lot more than I do, but I've read a lot of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so DC's books I read off and on during that time, some Superman here and there, because he's kind of become my guy after Spider-Man was for a while. Mm-hmm. But whenever DC started this relaunch, I was like, okay, you know what? This is what I'm going to read.
Yeah.
I'm going to read this. I'm going to see what it's like. If I don't like it, you know, I don't like it, but I just want to see what's going on. And so I've been reading it, and I've had lots of friends who are more versed in the comics than I am. So whenever there's continuity questions I have, I ask them. And the continuity of the stories and how they relate to previous continuity has been something I've been focusing on ever since September.
Mm-hmm.
So continuity, if you don't mind my interrupting here. Are these you're reading all 52 of these? I'm not. I don't think any of the three of us are reading all 52.
Not all of them.
I know we're not. How is the continuity feeling?
Do you mean that between the titles themselves, or like
yes,
the characters
as a universe? Is it feeling cohesive?
I would say for the vast majority, yes. Like in the 90 something percent, I would say yes.
Okay.
There were a couple of balls that got dropped in the Teen Titans universe.
Yeah.
Because of editorial decisions that came down after books were already on the shelves.
Mm.
The word Teen Titans is used in the first issue of Green Lantern Corps whenever he's reminiscing about all the teams that are on the Earth right now.
Right, right.
And in an issue of Batwoman, whenever Flamebird says, I used to be a Teen Titan, I fought Deathstroke. And
that's right.
And that's referencing a story that no longer exists.
Hmm.
And in an early issue of Teen Titans, I want to say number two, Red Roberts says this is going to be the shortest incarnation of the Teen Titans ever.
Right.
Then it came down the pike that, oh, no, this is actually the first Teen Titans ever. So, I mean, Dick and Starfire and some of the other guys, they did some stuff a little bit together, but they didn't call themselves the Teen Titans. Yes. This is the
yeah.
first Teen Titans.
Yeah, they showed flashbacks of that in one of the Red Hood books too, so but you're right, yeah.
Oh, interesting. So, I didn't realize that this is the first time that in their continuity that this is the time the name will be used.
And yeah, that it didn't start out that way, but it is that way now, is what he's saying.
And it hasn't even been used in the book, if I'm not mistaken. But
as of the fight with Superboy,
yeah.
They started. Red Robin says, "We're the Teen Titans," and there's like an inner monologue caption of it. It's sexy. It's short. It's alliterative. I like it, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So other than that, I would say that they've handled their continuity really, really well. And the reason I say that is I'm coming into this with no assumptions about previous stories. If they mention that Superman died, that doesn't mean that the story, the death of Superman, that you can go buy off the shelf happened.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
that story depends on a JLI that never existed.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on a relationship between Clark and Lois that has never existed. It depends on a whole lot of – and it spun off a whole lot of events that we know never existed, because the reign of the Superman as we know it could not have existed.
Yep.
Because Superboy's new. Steel has been around since Superman's early days. I don't think that there is an Eradicator or a Cyborg Superman in the Superman universe as of yet.
No.
And Supergirl's brand new as well. So.
Right, right. You don't have that protoplasm Supergirl. The Matrix Supergirl anymore. So, you know, Superman has died and there's a story there that they haven't told yet. But just because they say this happened, that doesn't necessarily mean that all of the stuff that you associate with that event also happened.
Mm-hmm.
There's a part of me that would love to see a new history of the DC universe, but then there's also a part of me that doesn't want them to like pigeonhole themselves into anything.
That's
right?
Why
exactly.
They never will.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. They've set the past up where they can write anything they want and it won't screw up that, which is why if you write something And then Star Wars is a perfect example. Don't ever do a prequel. Star Trek Enterprise was terrible because of that. I mean, every other episode, like, well, yeah, but what about this happened in so-and-so? When they wrote that Star Trek Enterprise show, they didn't give a damn about that. They even changed the name for a little bit and just called it Enterprise. I mean, anyway, off my Star Trek sandbox here.
No, but there was that hot Vulcan chick in there.
Well, yeah. They tried that and Voyager.
That Vulcan chick, if you see her like on an interview and being more candid, she is such a bubbly airhead.
Oh, yeah.
Which means that girl has acting skills to kill because she
absolutely, yeah.
She comes off like so different, and she plays a completely different character. And I thought she did pretty well. I kind of dig Star Trek Enterprise, but that's a topic for another podcast. Well, I think that especially towards the end when they got a new writing team, that they started making that show really awesome, just in time to get canceled.
Yeah, I agree. I agree totally.
That's not the same chick from V, though, is it?
No. Huh.
Okay. All right.
This is
Anna Baccarin, the one that was the head V.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
She was on Firefly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and she was on
Stargate, too.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry. Yeah. She's kind of yummy.
Yeah, she...
Very. Okay. So we established that DC's doing a pretty good job continuity-wise. I'm kind of curious. I'd love to see that board in there. Somebody's office, maybe Didio's office or Jeff John's office or something. It would be very neat.
Eddie Braganza board.
Yeah, exactly. That would be really cool to see. You're reading all 52 titles. They're pulling six of them out from underneath you here now six of them are gone, and then there's six more coming up the pike here. That leaves another 46 titles from the original set. Is there, and I'm, this is totally putting you on the spot, and you know, it's obviously, again, it's an objective question, but is there something else that should go, something else that doesn't belong there?
I liked it.
Okay, when you mean doesn't belong, it's like they should cancel it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
I like to take the tack that just because I like something or don't like something doesn't mean that it's inherently good or bad. So this is just, you know, what I like or don't like. I'm not feeling invested in Green Arrow. I'm not feeling invested in the Savage Hawkman. As much as I like the tidbits that they're dropping about him, I want to see the story of him finding out he's an alien. I think that'd be a really cool story to see.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's being told very well. Mm-hmm. Some of the bottom sellers I'm really digging. Like, I really like Voodoo. I really like Grifter. I really like Resurrection Man. Captain Atom, I know, gets a lot of flack for the art and maybe for the storytelling, but that's also a story that I'm kind of enjoying. I like that he's more Dr. Manhattan-ish because Dr. Manhattan was a takeoff on the original Captain Atom.
Yeah, that's kind of a circular argument there, isn't it?
Yeah, so I kind of dig that. Stuff that I'm not really feeling connected to. Deathstroke, I could take or leave. And really, all the other ones I like to a greater or lesser degree.
Mm-hmm. See, that's kind of where I'm at right now because, more titles are being added that I think I'm going to really like than were taken away that I liked.
That you're going to miss, yeah.
Yeah, so that's more money being spent. So I'm to the point now because when you add in all that AVX stuff that I could take or leave are on the bubble of me stop reading. I like them, but they're not awesome like Batman or Batman and Robin. So
that first arc of Batman and Robin was so amazing.
Oh, I know. It's beautiful work. But you get like, okay, perfect example, Justice League International. That's a good story. It's, told, I think it's told well, but it doesn't, if I miss an issue of that, I don't think it'd bother me, even though Batwing's in it. So that's one I'm thinking about dropping.
It's got added OMAC. If you drop that one,
it's got OMAC. Yeah, but that's just for it. I don't know if it's going to stay in there or not. But.
Well, as long as he's there, you need to pick it up.
Okay.
They've got you for another couple of months at least there.
Yeah, I've ordered a couple of issues of it already, so it'll have to be several months before I can decide on that.
The Justice League International
is
going to be the book.
You have to buy it.
The Justice League International is going to be the book where all these canceled characters are going to pop up.
It'll yeah, I have a feeling, yeah.
Canceled character cavalcade.
Mm-hmm.
So I completely neglected to ask, but the miniseries is the ones that have ended and are continuing. Obviously, the Huntress one is going to be continuing in the Earth 2 books, and the Shade one is still continuing, I think.
It's like on 9 or 10, isn't it?
Meandering along. Then there was the Penguin. My personal favorite of the miniseries.
I have to admit, that's the first series that focused on a villain that I actually really liked. That was some good stuff.
Now, were you getting those as well, or are you getting those as well, John?
Yeah, I've been reading those. I'm a fan of dark storytelling. Everyone, I hate when comics get dark. I really like dark stories. So, Penguin with the abuse issues and the short man syndrome and the psychological stuff they went into with that story, I ate that stuff up.
Yeah, that was great.
And Huntress, Huntress, I feel like I would enjoy it more as a single swallow rather than stretching it out over monthly. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a bad story. I just was just kind of like, coasting along with it.
Yes.
My greatest adventure had the three stories going. And I have to say that none of them really grabbed me as much as I wanted it to. I felt like there was some stuff going there that I should have liked more than I did. But I wasn't really invested in any of it. And that's why I'm not really sure that an anthology series of multiple stories in one book, unless you extend the page count, I'm not entirely sure how much an anthology series would work in today's storytelling styles.
That's a good point.
Batman Odyssey Volume 2. The less said about that, the better. Legion Secret Origin, of course, we're all friends with the Legion of Substitute Podcasters. That was I enjoyed that. I wanted more Superman. Whenever they teased it at the end of issue 4 going into 5, or maybe it was 5 going into 6, I forget.
Yeah.
I wanted more Superman. The Shade I'm liking is just so different. And I'd never read any of Robinson's Starman stuff, so this is a whole new flavor for me. It's kind of like Stormwatch, except completely not, but in the fact that it's so different to anything else in superhero land. I feel like it's its own little thing over there. Different. I keep using that word, different. But it is, and I enjoy it, but it's just not what I'm used to reading.
Yeah. It's like
Batwoman or Red Lanterns. It was done a while ago, and then they finally, they put it on the back burner until this new 52 kicked off and then put it out there. So it's,
you say the word different. I don't think that's a bad word either. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I love what DC's done. Is because things are different and new,
Mm-hmm.
And
exciting and new.
At first, because at first, as I said on the podcast before, is I was actually pissed off a little bit that they were doing this, but once we got into it, I've liked what they've done.
Thunder Agents, I really felt like I didn't. I needed the first volume of that to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
There was just too much stuff there that was building on previous stories for me to really, really sink my teeth into it. Loved the Ray. Thought it was amazing. I have a list I'm reading through here. That's why I'm going through them all.
I completely forgot about Thunder Agents as well as Ray. So.
Yeah, I read the first issue of that series, and it was good, but I didn't read anymore.
Which one?
The Thunder Agents.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
The only other one that's still going right now besides The Shade is Night Force, which is 2 issues in of a 6 issue run, I want to say. Yeah. And that has captured my attention. Was it 7? Okay.
Yeah.
With the second issue, that's really garnered my attention. He's bringing some sick and twisted ideas into the storyline. And I wrote on Marv Wolfman's page, I was like, you know what? This is some interesting stuff. I am intrigued, and I don't want to say anything. I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but it's
I haven't read any of that.
If you like horror, give the first couple issues of Night Force a shot, because it's interesting.
Yeah, no, it's
got a warp core breach over there, Caleb.
Yeah, it's sad.
Anyway, go ahead.
I'm gonna go into the bunker now, by the way. So no, that I love Tom Mandrake art. I've been a Mandrake fan for years. He and I used to trade emails all the time. And then Wolfman, clearly he needed the hiatus because he came back strong. This is, you're right. It's very horror-ish and very subtle. Like X-Files, there's things hinted at. Yeah, I should keep a list in front of myself so I don't forget to talk about these things. So Thunder Agents, is that over? Did it end?
I think it was the last issue just came out, didn't it?
Okay. Yeah, it's over.
All right. And it is DC Universe, right?
No.
It's not?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so.
I think it's supposed to be.
Is it? Okay.
Well, is it DC Universe in the same way that The Shade is DC Universe, where they throw in like a single mention every couple of issues about something DC Universe-ish?
I only read the first issue, so.
It's about that. I think you get a Superman mention at some point, and that's about it.
Okay.
It's off there doing its own thing in its own little made-up part of the made-up world that doesn't really have any connection to everything else.
That's the nice thing about The Shade, is that it can do that. Unlike, say, Firestorm, where all these big events happen and you don't see appearances by anybody else in the books, whereas The Shade, it's very small events, and they can, you know, they have big impact, but they, you know, they can clearly happen without anybody, a guest star popping in, though they did have Deathstroke there in the first issue, but it's not mandatory. For me, I mean, when I see big explosions in Paris, I immediately expect that someone's going to notice besides
the antagonist.
Right.
Especially in what they've created, a very populated world with Stormwatch and Justice League and so on and so forth. It's they're there. Justice League International.
I did like seeing, I forget which title it was now. It might have been The Flash or it might have been something else. There's a volcano in New York City now because of events in Captain Atom.
That's right.
And somebody like went to New York City and was like, oh, yeah, we have a volcano in New York City now, asterisk, see Captain Atom. And I was just like, you know, that's fun. You didn't have to do that, but that just, you know, kind of, you know, nod to the fact that, oh, by the way, these people share the universe because Teen Titans is happening in New York, but I guess they're in a different part of the island. I don't know.
Manhattan's huge. I once walked across the island of Manhattan.
Have you thought of the build up to the culling in those Teen Titans titles?
Oh boy. Okay, so I mentioned earlier that I really dig Superman. I'm doing a podcast about the new 52 Adventures of Superman, so we talk about all the super books every time. Superboy is one that when I read an issue, I think, wow, that was fun. And then I go back to analyze it for the show, and sometimes it just falls apart in my hands.
Ah, I see.
As a series, and it's, I like the ideas that they're doing, and I like the culling, and I like Teen Titans, and I'm not sad that Khan and Cassie are separated and all that other stuff. But sometimes he has either so many balls in play that he doesn't pay attention to all of them, or he just, I don't know what it is, but I think that the culling has the potential to be really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know that it's actually going to do it.
Yeah.
I've been looking forward to it ever since they began hyping it. I've been like, oh, yeah, this is where, you know, stuff's going to go down.
But yeah. And I've said it before. I think the Superboy comic is probably my biggest surprise out of all of them that I actually like that book.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to seeing how that pulls together too.
Oh, I'm definitely, I would agree that is probably in my top three or four positive surprise books.
Mm-hmm.
was Superboy, Titans being another one.
Mm-hmm. Red Hood.
Red Hood. Well, thanks to Murray, I've been pleasantly surprised by that.
Yeah. I stuck around.
Thank you, Murray.
Thanks, Murray.
Red Hood and the Outlaws had a first issue that I really didn't care for, but I think the story has been really, really solid.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of titles out there that we – the first issue was just not that good, and then the second one was a whole lot better, and that's what, you know, in most cases kept me on. So,
I would put Legion Lost under that category.
Oh, yeah.
I was mystified and slightly appalled by the first issue of Legion Lost. Mm-hmm. But then the second issue, you know – fed me and gave me spoonfuls of the information I needed to understand the story.
Yeah.
And I was even one of those that had read the blogs online that like tied into the story and set things up with Alistair and the sister and everything. Mm-hmm. So I knew the backstory and still was feeling really kind of confused. Mm-hmm. But then it tied it all together as we went along and I'm enjoying the story.
Yeah, it's good. And that's one of, it's like, it seemed like the first two or three issues is like every problem that I had, it was like, oh, okay, the next issue just, like, solved it.
Right.
All right, so they're starting to set up for year two. I mean, it's starting to roll. We got the Cullen coming up, which is mm-hmm. I would consider that almost like the next year two of a couple of these books. We've got the Zero issues coming out in September. What else? We've got the new Shazam stuff going on in Justice League, which mm-hmm. so far... underwhelmed, by the way, from my point of view.
Well, it looks like they're going to set it up just like Flashpoint.
Okay.
Because he shows up in that house with all those kids, and in Flashpoint, it was a bunch of kids that would say one letter or, you know, what they would do something, and they would all become Captain Marvel or Shazam, as it is now.
Shazam, yes. It will be Shazam now going forward.
We also have the National Comics lineup.
Yeah.
Oh, what's
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, those National Comics things.
A series of one shots with a common mm-hmm. trade dress.
Yeah, because in the latest previews, there's only one solicited, so they're going to spread that out a little bit. Looks like.
Yeah.
Help me out here. I have no idea what you guys are talking about. I'm sorry.
They're doing some one shots stories with some different characters. And one of the they're putting them under a National Comics banner. One example is National Comics Kid Eternity or something. I think it's Kid Eternity.
The title is just Eternity. National Comics Eternity.
It's just Kid Eternity.
Kid Eternity is the character.
Yeah, right. And it's like written by Jeff Lemire, I think. And then they're going to do other characters, either brand new or old characters redone, and just have a one shot of it.
Oh.
It's kind of like what we thought DC Presents was going to be, like single-issue stories introducing new characters to the DCU.
Right. So instead of doing it there, they're having a whole separate thing.
And they're going to have a different creative team each time, and the page count's a bit extended. I think these are 40 pages instead of 32 pages.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So they have a little bit more room to breathe with their story.
Mm-hmm.
And theoretically, it'd be ideas for future series if a one-shot gets, like, you know, 100,000 sales or whatever.
Yeah,
or future members of Justice League International. okay. Sorry.
That's okay.
All right. Well, I have to ask. Legion of Superheroes. The three of us met via Legion of Superheroes, Legion of Substitute Podcasters. What is your Legion foo? Is it strong? Is it weak?
I'm a big fan of the team. I say big fan. I am a fan of the team. I've read a lot of the Silver Age stuff in coordinates with the LOSP podcast and also the Super Future Friends podcast. Mm. Have y'all come across that before?
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of it, but I haven't listened to that other one.
It's these two girls talking comics, and they're hilarious. And anytime girls want to talk comics, I'll tune in. But they're also really, really funny and irreverent. the current storylines that Levitz is doing, I wasn't familiar with a lot of what he was doing as we went into this new series, which is why I wasn't entirely sure how much to recommend Legion of Superheroes to people who weren't familiar with it as a New 52 title.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I put it in the very first thing of, if you don't really know what's going on, you're going to be a little bit lost going into this story, because I was.
Okay.
But I do like what he's been doing. I like the characters. I like the relationships. I really want to fill in my history more, and I haven't had a chance to do that yet. I've read like the first, I don't know, up to like Adventure 320 or something like that, and that's as far as I've gotten. And one of the first Legion stories that I read was Superman number 8 from 1987 that right. crossed over with Legion of Superheroes 37 and 38.
The great the John Byrne debacle.
Yeah,
the blowing up the moon thing. Okay, yeah.
That came a little bit later. This is this is the Pocket Universe story where
this is
one of my
favorite covers with Superboy, the real Superboy smacking the old Superboy. That's part of that crossover.
Okay, got my Legion Foo is weak on terms of issue numbers, but
this is where they decided that all of this, in order to fit into the post-crisis continuity, they decided that all of the Legion's adventures with Silver Age Superboy, they didn't actually go into the past. They went to a pocket universe that the Time Trapper had created.
So he was trying. This was your intro to the Legion? Good Lord, okay.
That was one of the first Legion stories I read. And that was part of my, you know, just my growing through post-crisis Superman and drinking in the awesomeness of that.
Mm-hmm.
But a friend of mine had recommended the Super Future Friends podcast, so I started listening to that and reading the oldest Silver Age stories, and that's where I started getting more invested in the characters and then came over to Legion of Substitute Podcasters after that. So my history is very, very weak. But I do have a great amount of affection for the characters.
Yeah, see, I've been reading Legion since I was a kid, but I don't know the details as near as much as the guys on the Legion podcast.
They're kind of scary, actually.
Yeah. I mean, they talk about, you know, not having this all of this run or all that run. I've got all of that crap. But I just don't anywhere near as, you know, I know more about Batman than I do about the Legion, even though I love it probably just as much.
And I feel like as a Superman fan, I really should know more about the Legion because in a lot of ways those are intertwined, even though ever since the first crisis that's been significantly less so.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like, you know, as a Superman fan, I should really know more about the Legion. I just don't yet.
Yeah.
Yes, you should. No. All right, so... Murray has a daughter who reads comics. I have a daughter who reads comics. You said you have a 10-year-old. Does your 10-year-old read comics?
We read comics every night before bed.
Oh.
And I have her with the Comic Zeal app on her her iPod, and she reads comics on that. So,
awesome.
She and I, ever since she was six, have been reading comics together. And she's done a lot of reading on her own, too. She has, like, Bone and Supergirl's Cosmic Adventures in the Eighth Grade. And she's a big Dragon Ball fan, which, since I'm a child of the 90s, I am making her a child of the 90s.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. We watch a whole lot of 90s television and stuff just because that was awesome. And, so she reads a lot. Superman's her favorite character. She loves Supergirl. She really wants to see Supergirl show up in the new Young Justice series season. What else? Yeah, she likes comics.
That's cool. I've made a point with my daughter. She is a huge Legion fan. She's watched all the cartoons. She likes the Young Justice cartoons. She's read a bunch of the showcases with the Legion. Franklin Richards stuff is some of her favorite. If you get a chance, I tried to get her into Bone, but it didn't take.
Tiny Titans.
I got it. I keep meaning to grab copies of that, but I keep forgetting to.
She really likes Tiny Titans. She read the Batgirl and Supergirl showcases.
Oh, really? good stuff. I bet. Okay.
Yeah. It was. My 3-year-old was 2.5 whenever this whole thing started running down the pike, and I brought home a couple copies of Justice League number 1 just so that he could play with one, because he says those are my guys, and so he'll point out Superman and Batman and Cyborg and the Flash, and he knows he can recognize the Golden Age Flash and Green Lantern versus the Modern Age Flash and Green Lantern.
Nice.
He doesn't call them Golden Age, but he knows they're both Flash. He knows they're both Green Lanterns. So yeah, he's he likes them. We haven't done a whole lot of reading of stories yet, just because his comprehension and retention and patience levels aren't as high as they will be later. But he likes them.
We've been toying with the idea of having a kids episode of this thing. We have to hunch you up.
That'd be fun. Yeah, my dogs don't talk that much. So.
You could be the moderator.
Okay, yeah, there you go. I'm probably the most kid-like of all of you. So. Since we don't have kids, I usually fill that role around here.
I would agree that, yes, you do fulfill that role very well. I'm being interrupted about a Sesame Street question. What?
Oh, yes. That's all right.
Yes, you can stop watching Sesame Street. That's fine. Sorry.
What, are you going to tie to a chair or something?
Yes.
Hour 14 of Sesame Street. Ah!
We watched the very first episode this morning of Sesame Street.
Oh, wow.
The one that has a parental advisory on it?
Did it? I don't remember that. I just remember Big Bird looked completely weird, and Oscar the Grouch was orange. So.
There are a couple of things that they say.
So Oscar the Grouch is Larfleeze?
Yes.
Okay, go on. Continue.
That's a good point. Oh, man. Hold on. All right.
There are a couple of things they do on that episode, yeah.
Wow. That's great. Yeah. Jeff John just stole that from Jim Henson. Son of a bitch.
Okay. Well, you know, what are you going to do?
Right. Sorry, someone was saying something, and I
think it was John.
I was just saying that there were evidently – I haven't seen the episode, but there were evidently some things they did on that episode that they wouldn't do on a modern episode of Sesame Street. I don't know if it's themes or what that they addressed, but if you get the DVD set of like the history of Sesame Street, there is a parental advisory about the first episode.
Oh, okay. Well, we've been doing lots of Muppets in our house lately. We've been watching old Muppet shows, and
yeah, that's gold there.
Obviously inspired by the movie recently. Yes, come in. So
are you a manly Muppet, or are you a Muppet of a man?
We watched that last week. That was awesome. I loved that movie.
I am a Muppet of a man.
I think I am as well.
I'm Jim Parsons.
You're Jim Parsons. My cousin had such a crush on that guy. She's gonna go see him on Broadway. He's doing Harvey on Broadway, and she's saving up her money to fly to New York and go see that.
Huh.
So.
When he showed up on that film, I just couldn't stop laughing. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was funny. But that's where the Sesame Street revisiting is coming in. As
we've
been watching. We bought the first or second season of Muppet Show and stuff.
Wow. So you're making sure she's cultured. That's good.
Absolutely. I forced them to listen to Falco and watch Muppets. So
there you go. Awesome.
What are y'all excited about the new titles that are coming out? The Dial H and Earth 2 and GI Combat, all that stuff.
Batman Inc., obviously, because, you know, I'm a Batman fanatic. If you listen to the previous episodes, you can hear all that. The World's Finest, Perez Art, you know, I'm there. I would read that if it was Cute and Fuzzy Bunnies, if he did it. Was the art on it, but being a bonus, it's actually a superhero comic. That's good. Levitt's, of course, writing. Let's see.
We're doing Captain Carrot. Wait a minute. Hold on.
I'm trying to think of the other ones.
Earth 2.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think that's a given with anyone reading the New 52 stuff. I think buying Earth 2 is kind of a given.
That's the one I forgot.
GI Combat, is it possible for me? I'm
getting the first issue, but whether I keep getting it after that, I'm not sure.
I think we're required to get the first issues, aren't we? Isn't that our mandate?
Yeah, we are. I'm getting the Dial H one, but I know I'm probably not going to like that since it's a horror book. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm going to pick up all the...
Yeah, I already pre-ordered them all. I just don't know if I'm going to keep them all.
Does that start this month or next month, excuse me?
I think it starts this week.
Yes, this coming week. Yes, I'm looking at my pull list right now. Dial H, Earth 2, and World's Finest all come out.
And GI Combat.
GI Combat comes out. Okay, I don't have it on my pull list, but I'll pick one up.
So are they still making... They're not... Then clearly, are they maintaining the 13, 13, 13, 13?
I think so. I haven't really looked.
I have a spreadsheet in front of me, so I'll give you the OCD answer if you want.
Oh, good. All right.
May's a 5-week month, so they're kind of spread out a little bit differently. The Ravagers is coming out the 5th week. June, whether there was a misprint in the solicits or it actually is done this way, they're lopsided with weeks 3 and 4. There's one title that's – so you have a 14 and a 12 in there. But then with July, they're all 13s again.
Mm. So I wonder if in June, if something's missing intentionally, it's shipping. I wonder if it's Justice League again, if they're messing with its schedule.
Justice League is solicited for the right place. I'm sorry, Murray.
I was going to say, I don't think they need to switch it because Jim Lee isn't doing the art during this. So there's no reason to slow it down. they don't need to give him another week or two or three, right? Like
he's working on, next issues, or he might. I really wanted to know how long he's actually going to be on this title. I do not think it's going to be much longer.
Well, they just – I know that Justice League is one of the – is the only title that's missed the ship date.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been a lot of books where they've pulled in substitute artists to get the books out on time.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not sure if Action Comics, with the 5 and 6 story being shunted right in the middle of the main storyline, I don't know if that was intentional or if that was a we got to make room for Rags Morales' schedule type of tactic.
Mm-hmm.
It's Morrison. It had to have been intentional. I mean, that's
but as far as the difference in shipping schedule between June and July is that Batman Incorporated was a week 3 book in June and a week 4 book in July, and that's how it evens out at the end.
So they
interesting.
You're kind of OCD about this.
That's okay. Nothing wrong with that.
I prefer to call it CDO because then the letters are in alphabetical order like they should be.
Oh, that's good. I like that. That's awesome. Oh, man.
Compulsive disorder. Okay, whatever. All right.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what they mean. It's just,
Exactly. If we can have, Hammer and Shade and Nowhere and all these acronyms that don't mean anything, then.
Yeah, sure.
We can have CDO.
Now, how about the fact that there's 3 different shades in the new DC universe? But
I'm not even going to talk about that.
I did not know that they were different characters for 4 months, and I was really really confused how the shade in Justice League Dark paralleled up with the shade in The Shade. I didn't know.
and neither one of them are agents of Shade.
Shade.
Yes. Yes.
Which, okay, on a similar but completely unrelated note, the Ravagers. Mm-hmm. We have Rose Wilson Ravager and Slade Wilson's son Ravager. Both of them are called Ravagers, but are either of them in the solicit stuff for the Ravagers comic? No.
No. And they never call her Ravager. They just – she is a Ravager, I think, in the latest issues. Is.
Yeah, she is one of the Ravagers. So she may be in the title, but she's not in the cover art.
Yeah, that's weird.
But they've got Orange Beast Boy, so, what are you going to do?
Yeah, true.
Got to make some accommodation. Never mind. I don't know where I was going with that.
Why make him orange? Why not leave him green?
It's the whole red-green thing with Swamp Thing.
Oh, okay.
Oh, probably. You know what?
Holy crap. That's a good explanation.
That's totally it.
So, why isn't Wally West in here? I'll ask you that. You got all the good answers.
Where the hell is Donna Troy?
Yeah. I know Didio keeps – I keep reading articles and somebody asks him, and he tells a different explanation every time. Now, whether he's doing that on purpose or he's just a
I think the conversation that's happening in DC Comics headquarters about whether and how to introduce Wally West is an ongoing conversation.
I'm sure.
So I think that whenever they ask him about it, he might just say whatever was being shot around the bullpen that morning or something. I don't know.
He's going to be like Matt Damon on Jimmy Kimmel. They're going to keep trying to invite him in, and then, no, I'm sorry, we're going to have to postpone your visit.
I read on speedforce.org, I think, that he said that Barry Allen was more iconic than Wally West.
I think either one of them could have been the choice easily and very, very, because it's not like Dick Grayson as Robin, who was on television for 3 years and then in reruns for, you know, 70 after that. Mm-hmm. But you could have either picked Wally West or Barry Allen as your Flash and just gone with it.
I don't know, I think it all boils down to it's what he wanted.
Right. So they
It's that, but it's also they don't want multiple sidekicks, I don't think. Like, they want the current version of the character, which they've decided is the most iconic version. And if they're going to have a teen sidekick, they just want one teen sidekick. So we get Bart Allen, we get Cassie Sandsmark, we get Superboy, but we're not. But all those characters that are in the middle, like Wally and Donna and the original Aqualad, they don't want those guys around. And they get that there's a big fan base, and they're probably trying to figure out how do we pull these guys in when we don't really want those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But because as soon as you pull them in, you get all kinds of questions about timelines and continuity and
expectations
exactly. So you have to pull them in really carefully, and I would rather, as much as I want Wally back, as much as I want to see Donna back, I would rather they just wait 5 years, 3 years, 2 years, whatever, wait until someone who really, really has a great story to tell about them, and then bring them back then.
Mm-hmm.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah, like, don't I get that there are fans that really want to see them back. Like, I totally get that, but I don't want to see them shoehorned in and become
right,
like, another casualty of the New 52, where we see them for a page or two or three, and then it doesn't work and it causes all sorts of questions, and they get either shunted off, or you get like what happened to Donna Troy originally, where her
leave Donna Troy out. They screwed that. Yeah, no, I mean, seriously. They didn't know what to do with her before. So let's leave her out.
She was a Teen Titans character only for so long that trying to make her a part of the Wonder Woman universe, like, try to write her back into that universe, it was just sloppy. But my thought is a lot with what Murray was saying, is just that if you wanted to bring the characters in today and issue 12 solicits, you would have to introduce them as brand new characters because the universe is already there. Mm-hmm. I think that is a different question too. Why did they choose them in the first place? Because if you wanted to make Wally West the Flash in September, then you automatically raise the question, well, was he a sidekick to Barry Allen? Well, then that creates the whole history of Barry Allen. And then do you want to bring in the crisis and how he died? There's a lot more messiness to Wally's origins than Barry has.
And if you bring in Wally and you don't have him if you bring in Wally as just the first Wally. Flash, here's 52's first Flash, is he the Wally that people want? Like, people seem to want the Wally that has the history with Barry, that has the history with Linda, that maybe they don't want the Wally with the two kids. I didn't mind that. But the Wally they want isn't going to be the Wally that they get, even if they had brought Wally back.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point.
Okay, so the most important question of all, I mean, I cannot overemphasize how important this is. Will you be seeing Avengers this week?
I have my midnight tickets. My daughter is staying up until 3 o'clock, even though she has school the next day, so that we can go to see the midnight Avengers Thursday night.
Awesome. I won't get to see it till Saturday, but I'm going for sure.
We're going on Sunday, next Sunday. So, just because I'm running a race on Saturday, but okay.
On Free Comic Book Day, oh man,
hey, amen.
That's terrible.
It's all about the mud and the metal. So
okay, all right. Well, you know, that's fine. That's fine. Everybody has different priorities. I'm driving all the way to Memphis for Free Comic Day, and then coming back and going to the local store.
But are you going to walk in Memphis?
No, probably not. I might walk from the car to the door of the shop. But that's it.
Murray, you just pulled out one of my favorite songs from the 80s. Thank you.
Totally.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Who's the original singer? Because I only know Cher's version of it.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I am too.
Dude, you just destroyed that whole previous 30 seconds of coolness.
No way. She does a great version.
Oh, that's awesome.
Gypsies transcending.
So.
Hey. No, I, the reason I ask again, and you mentioned your daughter and such, I think that that's great that you are accommodating, for the fandom. And I think that maybe pushing the point a little bit, but, that's
well, that's well, what you get to do when you're a parent, isn't it?
Yeah.
You do that. All
you get to make the choices occasionally that might not be that would definitely would not be good choices on a regular basis.
Yes.
But for this special occasion, you know what? This is what you get to do. Yeah. So, and she's 10, so she'll be able to. She's a well-behaved child. She'll be tired the next day, but she won't be terror because of it. So.
Well, that's what my mom did with Star Trek. I mean, I'd stay up till 11 o'clock or whatever to watch that and.
When did you start – where was Star Trek in its production history when you started watching it?
Okay, well, when I started watching it, I was in the – I was young. I don't even know how young. I may be as young as 5 even, so it was in reruns, syndication reruns. That's when we catch it. It was being actually filmed and, you know, shown. It's the first time when my mom and dad were – dating. So actually no, that would be around the time they got married because they were married in 66. So yeah, it was around that 66 to 69, wasn't it? Or 68?
Yeah, 66 to 69.
Yeah. So yeah, that was when they were married in the first couple years of their marriage. And you know, and like I've told on the podcast before, mom was the one that got me started on Batman even before I was born because she was a big fan of the TV show. In the 60s, and dad would have to wait for her to finish that before they would go out on their dates. So that's like ingrained in my DNA. So.
And then you'd have to wear a cowl. But
yeah,
that's,
well, that was like years later. So.
Okay.
I think I had a utility belt on when I was born. I'm not sure.
Ouch.
Okay, so because my earliest memories of Star Trek are my dad watching the first season of Next Gen. And then I started getting invested in the 4th or 5th season. I remember when they did the Times Arrow cliffhanger.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
That was the first time that I was, like, really anxious to see the next season. I mean, I was invested enough by that point to be really excited about the next fall.
Yeah, the 3rd season was when it really got good. So
I think that's true of several
Star Trek podcasts. Anyway, go ahead. Continue. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, so yeah, as I said, I think that's true of several Star Treks. Deep Space Nine sort of had to find its way for the first couple seasons. Mm-hmm. Voyager wasn't really sure what it was exactly until 7 came along. And
well, I disagree with you there, but, you know, that's another podcast.
I like Voyager, but that first season of that show, setting aside the pilot, because the pilot was a pretty solid film.
Yeah.
But I felt like a lot of the first season scripts were the scripts that didn't make the cut in Next Generation.
I can see that. Yeah, they weren't as near as good as later ones. That's for sure. So anyway,
the bastard child of Next Generation. Okay.
Yeah. Well, in some ways, I like that one more than the rest of them, but that's just it. Just depends.
Yeah.
I may watch the cartoons with my kids. They're on Netflix streaming, so I may.
Yeah. I had all those on VHS at one point.
They're on DVD now. It's a pretty cool little set.
Yeah. I still don't have all those on DVD, but of course they're streaming now. And now, which is, I'm glad I didn't buy all of them because they're coming out on Blu-ray.
Jeez.
So they're remastering them all for Blu-ray. So
there's always another technology down the pike.
Exactly. Yeah, I've got the. My wife had bought me the first 5 seasons of Voyager, and that's the most I have. I got 2 seasons of Next Generation, but I don't have any of the others.
Right. So. I just love the fact that they got all the original actors to do the voices. That was
on the cartoon, yeah.
Yeah, on the cartoon. I think that's incredibly cool.
Yeah.
You don't see that very often or hear that very often.
No. Yeah, that was well done. So anyway, I think we've
so. John,
yes.
Your insight has been appreciated.
Yeah.
I have
having you on.
While you've been talking, I just downloaded all eight and a quarter episodes of your new 52 Adventures of Superman. So you've given me new driving listening stuff between.
I have already downloaded yours. I think I just haven't listened to them yet.
When is this episode going to hit?
Monday, the very next
Monday. Week. Okay. So in that case, episode 9 has just dropped. We're looking at Action Comics 5. I had a guest on for that episode. I don't know if any listeners are familiar with From Crisis to Crisis or Tales of the Justice Society of America or Views from the Long Box, but Michael Bailey, staff writer at Superman Homepage, came along to talk to us about the new origin of Superman. And it's going to be a fun show. I'm actually going to sit down and edit it as soon as we're done talking.
Great. It's not on iTunes yet, so there you go.
No, yeah, it's coming out the 1st, so if this is hitting Monday, then it'll be there on Tuesday. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Well, I'm now subscribed to it, so I will be uploading or downloading it as they come out, and I will catch up. It shouldn't take too long. They're only a couple of them are over 2 hours, but most of them look like to be about an hour and a half. So yep. I should.
If any listeners want to give a listen to Where Superman Got His Origins, I always have my Golden Age Superman show, where it used to be weekly, and now it's whenever I can get it done.
That's fine.
I do have so many other things going on in my life right now, but I try to get out at least one a month.
That's cool.
And that's over at goldenageSuperman.libsyn.com and on iTunes.
And that's how these things succeed, consistency. And if even if it's just, a rambling episode, like, I don't know, some guys out there will do those. Not us though, of course. it's
pretty base. I'm not even going to comment on it.
Yeah. Which of the new 6 titles are you looking forward to the most? And then we'll let you go.
I would have to say Earth 2, although the quirkiness of Dial H definitely has me intrigued.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, John, thank you for making time, this morning. I don't even know what time zone you're on, but, thank you again for,
I'm in Central, so it's almost 11 o'clock here, but thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast. I've been enjoying talking to y'all on Facebook. It was great to actually have a conversation.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was great having you on. Thanks for coming.
You're on our list now, man.
Okay. Thanks.
In a good way.
Yeah. Okay.
Gotcha.
All righty.
Chris, it's all yours, man.
Okay, let's see. If you like this episode and want to comment on it, you can give us an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com. Sorry, all this podcasting in my head. I forgot which one we were on. Or you can comment on the Facebook page. I usually post the episode in there as well. Or you can actually go to the actual episode on talesfromthelongbox.com. And we will get back to you, comment as appropriate. And that's about it. I'm my brain's mush all of a sudden.
Okay.
Let's see, what else was I going to say? I think that's about it. Anything else, anybody?
Nope. Good.
We'll cover AVX and Avengers probably next week, would be my guess, or maybe the week after.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Some interesting stuff there. And that's about it. We are out.
Cool.
Bye.
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 Okay.
All right.
That was great.